Amen. Ezra chapter 4 this morning. Ezra chapter 4. And we're going to be reading verse 1 through verse 24 of Ezra chapter 4. And just getting some context here. Ezra chapter 4 and verse 1 through 24. And we're going to be talking about this topic today. Nothing will stop God. Nothing will stop God. And of course, as we go through this here, we're going to see that there were some things that tried to come against the ones who were working here. There were some adversaries, if you will. But we know that nothing's going to stop God. Now, something may stop one of us, but nothing's stopping God's work. You know, we get into the mindset a lot of times that, well, God's work cannot go on without me. Yes, it can. It's gone on this long without each and every one of us, and it's going to continue to go. Why? Because God's work is not built on us. God's work is not built on Grace Baptist Church. No, the church is built on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it's built on. And we talked about He is our anchor this morning. We sang about that this morning. And, you know, our anchor holds. Even if a independent fundamental Baptist church, even if it goes the way of the world, liberalism and all of those type of things, as we sang about in that song about drifting away and all of that, even if a so-called great church drifts away, guess what? The anchor still holds. The anchor is not dependent on what we do. The anchor is dependent on Christ. Amen? And let's continue to trust in Him. Nothing's going to stop God. We're going to read here in Ezra chapter 4. And we'll read down through this chapter here this morning. Notice the Bible says this. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the children of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now, we're going to continue through this passage as we go through this message here this morning. But I want you to notice here in verse 1, notice it says, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity built the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, notice it's the adversaries there. And then in verse 2, we read there, let us build with you. Right in the very beginning, it said that they were adversaries, but what are they trying to do? They're trying to yoke up with them. They're trying to say, hey, let us help you. You know, after reading here in Ezra, we see that there is many things that's going to try to stop the people of God from doing the work that they were supposed to do. You know, as long as we are in this world, we are at war. We're at war with this world. We're at war with Satan, and we're at war with the flesh and all of these things. And the devil will do anything he can to distract us, anything he can to discourage us. And, you know, in our own eyes, it may seem as though, well, these are good people. They're just trying to help. Well, can I tell you this? If they're not on the same page doctrinally, it's not going to help. You cannot join hands with someone. You cannot be unequally yoked with someone. No. That's why we need to be guarded. We need to know exactly what people believe. Because these ones here, they were adversaries, but they said, let us build with you. No, it doesn't need to be the case. We must keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, realize that this is His work. It's not our work. It's His. He will do it by His power as we yield ourselves to Him. As we study the Bible, we are going to learn that there's ones who live the victorious Christian life, and there's ones who place the emphasis where God wants the emphasis to be placed in the book of Ezra. And we witnessed that they were working to restore biblical faith to this people. That's exactly what needed to be done. But then we read of some adversaries. We read of some ones who were coming and trying to distract. Some ones that, notice, they knew exactly what was going on. It says they heard that the children of the captivity were building the temple. They saw that this was going on. And what did they say? Oh, let's go over there and help them. We don't need the help of our adversaries, amen? We need the help of God. But we are to be working, of course, as they were trying to do here, the people of God. They were trying to work towards restoring biblical faith to the people of Israel here. And last week we read a certain phrase, and it was this: they were setting forward the workmen. They were telling people exactly what they needed to do, exactly where they needed to work, exactly what needed to go on. We heard about how they put the altar back up on its bases. They restored that biblical worship, and we come to an end, to the end of chapter 3. The people were rejoicing over the progress that they had made in building the temple. They began praising the Lord. Notice in chapter 3, verse 11 through 13, it says, "And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks to the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." So exactly what they were coming to do, guess what? Work was being done. The people were rejoicing in that. You know what happens when the people of God start rejoicing in the things of God? We have some adversaries that don't like it. That's exactly what happened. You have ones that will come because of the work of the devil. What he wants to do is he wants to discourage us. You know, there's ones that will say, "Hey, I'm so encouraged that such and such is going on. I'm so encouraged in this," and we should be encouraged in those things. But beware, because it's not just us that see our encouragement. The devil sees that as well. And you know what happens when someone's encouraged in something? Then they are not only encouraged that something happened, they're encouraged to keep going for God. The devil doesn't want that to happen. So what's he going to do? He's going to send some adversaries. And we see that happening here. We see that the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin, they heard exactly what was going on. These people, they saw that they were working. No doubt these adversaries heard that these people were coming back. No doubt they heard that they were going to try to rebuild the temple and all of those things. And what happens here? They see as soon as the foundation is laid, wait a second, something is happening. You know, there's been a lot of people that have had the dream in their lifetime of building their dream home. They'll say, "It's going to be my forever home." And they have a dream of that. You know when that dream is actually put into fruition? When the foundation starts going in. When the work starts. Those people that have had plans on their computers or plans in their minds for a long time, this is what I want to build, but as soon as the foundation is laid, it's coming to fruition, isn't it? No doubt these adversaries, they heard that these people wanted to build the temple, but they didn't start coming against them until what? Until the foundation was laid. Until they had something to rejoice in. And now they're coming at them and they say, "Hey, we want to be a part of this." Notice here as we read this passage, there were some who were weeping and some who were rejoicing. The temple was being raised back to life, so to speak, here in their lifetime. Some were rejoicing because of the faithfulness of God. Others were weeping, just thinking about when the temple was destroyed and seeing it in ruins and all of those things. Think about the most glorious thing about this temple that they had as they were building here. I want you to turn over to the book of Haggai, if you will. The book of Haggai. Notice here in the book of Haggai, I'm going to get there here in just a moment. not Habakkuk, Haggai. I'll get my mind around this in a second here. Notice chapter 2 and verse 9 of the book of Haggai. It says this. Chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, what's going on here? Well, they're talking about the house of God. They're talking about the temple here. They're talking about exactly what needed to be built. These people, they had set forward the work of the Lord. They were doing exactly what God wanted them to do. And now God was blessing them. And you can see all these emotions going on here. You had the young people who had never seen the former temple. They're seeing the temple built. You had the older ones who had seen the temple before. They were part of the original captivity. And as I can see them as they're walking out of this place and looking back and seeing their city in ruins, seeing the walls destroyed, seeing the temple completely on fire, seeing all of these things going on. And that's the last image they had. And now they're seeing the temple be rebuilt. There was a time of rejoicing there. There was a time of weeping. There was all of these things going on. But now that the new foundation is set, we see here that there are some adversaries. Here in Ezra chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, we see what happened when the adversaries came. Well, what do we see? We see that Zerubbabel says, "No, you're not going to help us. We're not going to yoke up with you, if you will." Notice verse 3, and this is not a politically correct statement here you find in verse 3, amen, but it's biblically correct. Here in verse 3 we read, "But Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God." Notice he didn't say, no, we don't need your help. We have enough people. No. He looks at him and says, "You have nothing to do with us." He said, "There is nothing that that connects us." He said, "We're building a house to our God." You know what he saw here? He saw that these people, they had no desire to build something for God. They had desire to cause contention in the middle so that the house of God would never be built. You say, "Well, how could that be? And something so great that's going on." Well, it's the same way it's been since the beginning of time. You know, God placed man in a perfect world. Completely perfect. No sin. When God created everything, what did he say? He said, "It is good." If there would have been sin in the world, God, a holy God, could not have said it was good. But he placed man there, and what happens? Satan wants to destroy it. And what did he do? He came and he did exactly what he wanted to do. He whispered in the ear of Eve there. He convinced her that God could not be trusted and all of those things. He went against the very scriptures all the way in the beginning. He said, "Hath God said?" You see, he was questioning the scriptures there. The adversaries here were coming against the people. And notice they took a biblical stand here. They said, "We're not going to yoke up with you." Here in Ezra chapter 4, I want you to jump down to verse 21, if you will. It says this in verse 21, "Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that ye fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to hurt of the kings?" Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai, the scribe, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews, and they made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now, as we read the end of this passage here, we see, wait a second, the work ceased. So if it ceased, then that means that God's work can be stopped. No, it doesn't. Because you're going to see that God is going to continue to do a work. As we go through the book of Ezra here, just because the people stop does not mean that God's work stops. God continues to work in the hearts and the minds of people. These people, they had taken a long journey. They had been working hard. They were getting some things done. There was planning going on. There was prayer. And no doubt there were problems that they had ran into. But now, because of their enemies, the people of God have stopped. God has given each and every one of us a work to do. You would say, why would they stop? Obviously, God had a work for them to do. It's the exact same reason that the people of God have stopped many times since the Lord Jesus Christ left this earth. You know, the church is something that is, of course, building on Christ. And you know what many people say? Well, as long as there's still a New Testament church, then that's great. I can come and I can just sit through a service and that's fine as long as I'm going to church. No, God has a work for all of us to do through the church. Coming and just sitting on a pew, that is not God's plan for us. It's part of His plan, being here when the doors are open, but God has a plan for each and every one of us to serve Him through the local New Testament church. Well, how do we do that? Well, we have many things going on. Are we witnessing? Each and every one of us. Are we praying for the church? Are we being involved in these things? Are we helping the work of the Lord as we go throughout our life? The Bible says, they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? That's what the Bible says. Jesus answered unto them and said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That's where the work of God starts, when a person gets saved. That's not where the work of God ends. That's where it starts. And each and every one of us, we have a work to do for God. The only way that we can do God's work is by being in complete obedience to God. There's many people, notice this, there's many people who have substituted religious activity for obedience to God. And that should never be the case in our life. There's many people that say, well, as long as I'm going to church, I'm obeying God. Well, it's impossible to obey God without going to church, but there's many more things that God wants us to do. There's many parts to God's plan for our life. We think that if we can keep ourselves busy and occupy our time and fall in line somewhere with the religious doings of what is going on in a good place, then we are getting done what God wants. But when this happens, if that's our mindset, as long as we just stay busy, if that's our mindset, then we've missed everything that God wants us to do, and the work of God in our lives stops. Even though people are moving, they have exchanged the real work of God for their own religious activities. As we continue our study in the book of Ezra, we're going to see in the very next chapter, in chapter 5, that the prophets arise and they preach the word of God. And once the word of God is preached, we're going to see that the people are encouraged to start working again. You know, this is something that we see all throughout the church age as well. What is it when we come into the house of God? The Holy Spirit, He knows that we've got sin in our life. He knows that we've got things that need to be yielded over to Him. He's got things that He's been working on in our lives. And we come into the house of God and we hear a message preached. And maybe no one else even knows about those things in our lives, but the Holy Spirit knows. And the Word of God is preached and it speaks to our lives. And you know what a lot of us do is we'll sit there and say, wow, the Holy Spirit really spoke to me today. But when we leave this place, we leave here with the same sin that we came here with. No desire to change. Well, I'm glad the Holy Spirit spoke to me today. And then we keep on living in sin. That's not continuing the work of God in our life. No, God's plan is for us to come, hear the Word of God preached, and then get to work. That's what the plan is. We're going to see that in chapter 5 as we go through that. These people, they had stopped here. The work of God, work that they were supposed to be doing, it stopped there in the end of chapter 4. We read, then cease the work of the house of God. But then when the Word is preached again, the people realize, wait a second, it doesn't matter what man says. God has a plan for us to do, and they get back to work. Would to God that each and every time we read our Bible, every time we feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit, it causes us to return to the work. That's what each and every one of us need to do. I like how Pastor Clarence Sexton described the work of God. He said this, the work of God should be like the tip of the spear, sharp and pointed at the hearts of men to bring them to Jesus. And then he said this, we do not want to speak to their hearts. We turn them toward God and give them a panting after God to have this passion in their hearts. Notice, we do not have a church service to entertain people. We have a church service to point people to Christ. But boy, how that's changed, hasn't it? Everything that we see across this land in churches, it's all about how can people be entertained? How loud can the music be? How flashing can the lights be? Smoke machines and all of these things. You know, the same way that you get people to church is the way you have to keep them there. And if you don't get them with the gospel of Christ and the preaching of God, it's not going to keep them either. You see, the truth of the matter is you have to let people know that we're here because this is God's plan for us. It's because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And we have a work to do for Him. Are we seeking to build a passion in the hearts of men for Christ, or are we seeking for men's approval? Just as we see in the book of Ezra, the devil will do anything he can to stop God's work. He tries to distract us. He tries to cause us to get weary. How many churches have been destroyed simply because they're doing their own work and not God's work? I want to look at just a couple of things here very quickly as we go through this passage here. Notice the enemy offered to join them. We see that here in verse 1. There were the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin. These were people who were opposing them, and it's the same ones who will oppose us. You may say, well, preacher, we're not opposed by Judah and Benjamin. No, but we were opposed by the same world, flesh, and the devil that they were opposed by. Because these things are all behind the opposition of God's work. These adversaries, they did not do what we might expect of the enemy. When we think of an enemy, we think of someone whose only plan, and as soon as they show their face, we know their plan is to destroy us. We think of that when we think of the enemy, but that's not always the devil's tactic. You know, the devil's tactic is the one where we'll come in and try to just sow a seed. Just something small about this person and what this person said and how this person is acting towards them and all of those things. You know, from that seed, it causes great division. You know, from that one seed, great churches have been completely split and ruined and are not even in existence today because they allowed that seed to grow in their lives. Now, that came from a, quote, good person. Someone that was joining with them. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to know exactly what the devil is trying to do. These adversaries, they were not throwing rocks or trying to start a fight. No, they said this, we want to help you. We want to join with you. That's what they said here. They want to do everything they can to promote you. Oh, we will help your ministry. So a lot of people say, you know how many things we get in the mail here? Want to grow your ministry? Start with us. No, we'll start with God. Amen. You see, there's all of these things. They want man's wisdom to grow things. No, we need the wisdom of God. We must be a discerning people. We find that there will be many who want us to yoke up with them, ones who are not of like faith. You know why we do not go to Washington, D.C. on the National Day of Prayer and hold hands with people and sing Kumbaya around the flagpole? Because we don't know what God they're praying to. But there's many churches in today's age that say, well, as long as we're all praying to, quote, God, then it's all okay. No. Let's keep doing God's work, not man's work. Can I tell you this, church? Something the internet's not going to like. The Pope needs to be saved. And we don't need to join hands with unbelievers and pray for our nation. No, we need to come together as the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. That's what we need. Believers who are willing to get along with God and say, God, bless our land. And save these unbelievers. See, this is not what these adversaries wanted at all. No, they wanted to water down what these workers had been building upon. We must be a discerning people. We must know that there's many who want to yoke up with us, not for the sake of the gospel, but for the sake of man's approval. Where leadership is essential and discernment is essential, and one cannot be a discerning person if they're not exercising the muscle of discernment. You see here in Ezra chapter 4 and verse 2 and 3, we read there exactly what their answer was. And also here at Grace Baptist Church, we need to continue to stand on what is right. And when people try to make us change, when people try to make us watered down, people may try to yoke up with us. And as we see them as an unequal yoke, they're going to be trying to build themselves rather than building the work of God. And we need to help them understand that we're going with the work of God here. We're not going with the work of man. We need God's help. We cannot do this our own. This is not about building up mankind. It's about building up the work of God, giving our best to Him. Notice the enemy tried to join them. Also, the enemy weakened their hands, we read in verse 3 and 4. The enemy, once they knew that joining up was not going to happen, they did what the enemy still does today. They changed their attack. You know what happens when the devil realizes, I can't discourage this person with this thing? You know what he's going to do? He's going to try to do something else. Or let me see, I tried to discourage them and have this person say this to them, and that didn't work. So you know what I'll try to do? I'll try to have it be somebody from their own family now. I'll try to have somebody that they look up to in the church. I'll see if I can have them say something that'll discourage them. Oh, that didn't work. Okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to touch their body now. We'll see if that'll work. He's going to keep changing his tactics, church. There's many things the devil is going to try to do to weaken our hands. These people, they decided if we cannot join them, we must at least weaken them. You know what weakening them is going to do? It's going to cause the work to slow down. That's what weakening somebody does. You see, if somebody utterly disregards what the devil is doing, they're going to keep going for God. But as soon as the devil can weaken someone, they cannot work at the same pace they were working at before. Why? Because they're weaker. And the devil knows that. He says, if I cannot stop them, I'll at least slow them down. You know, over the last couple of years with the pandemic and all of these things that have ripped across our world, can I tell you this? There's been a lot of hands that have been weakened. A lot of them. People who allowed this virus to take their eyes off the Lord, people who once stood for the Word of God in the name of science, they completely disregarded what the Bible says about meeting together. Lord, help us. Help us to see that God's work needs to go on in our lives. I know of great churches, one in particular in my head, a church that was plowing forward for God, and because of COVID, and praise the Lord, He protected them. But in the middle of all of this, a church that was plowing forward for God, doing great things for God, and all of this, there was a time at which there was such a strain in the church there that it almost caused the church split, simply because some said, I'm wearing a mask. Okay, then wear a mask. Others said, I'm not wearing a mask. Okay, then don't wear a mask. But you know what the devil did with all of that simply over one mask? He weakened the hands. Lord, help us. Many times we think of a weakening. We simply we think that a weakening is going to be something that is a doctrinal issue. It doesn't have to be, church. It's any time, any seeds of deceit can be sown in our lives. Church, we cannot stop. We cannot quit. I praise the Lord that He protected us through all of this mess that we've gone through over the last couple of years. You know what the Bible says? It says that you shall reap if you what? Faint not. That's what the Bible says. You know what happens when a person gets weak? They faint. You know what the devil knows? He knows that he wants to stop the work of God. He knows, okay, well, maybe I can at least slow it down. What's he do after he slows him down here? We see that the work on the house of God stopped because the people of God were weak. Well, how do we build our strength? By listening to the Word of God. By eating of the Word of God. The way that their hands is weakened is the same way that Peter's hands were weakened on the sea. He was walking on water and his eyes were on Christ, but as soon as his eyes were on anything but Christ, what happened? His hands were weak and he began to sink. Simply because he looked away. You know how quick that was? He's looking at Christ. He's walking on water. He turns his eye and begins to sink. Why? Because his eyes were not where they were supposed to be. There's a lot of people that have fallen. They're not doing exactly what God wants them to do because they've looked away. Lord, help us. Satan would like nothing more than to weaken our hands. Just like Peter here, there are times that the Lord has to let us sink a little bit, not to hurt us, but so that we'll get our eyes back on Him. Lord, help us. Notice also, faith is required to have victory over the enemy. I want you to write this scripture down here, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. It'd be a good passage to read. I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. You know, we should be looking unto Jesus. The Bible says He is the author and finisher of our faith. How many of us have ever had some bad things said about them? I think all of us have. At some point or another, somebody said something bad. Now, don't worry. I would never believe anything, any bad thing anybody would say about anybody here, right? Now, the truth of the matter is, all of us have had something bad said about us. And you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to say, well, that person over there, I can't believe what they did. I can't even sit on the same side of the church with them anymore. I can't even go to the same church because of what this person said. And you know what happens? The work of God is hindered. Because of what we allow the devil to do in our minds. Faith is required to have victory over the enemy. People who wrote these things and said these things, they were manipulative and they were spreading false statements about the people of God. As we read here in this passage in chapter 4, they went to the king and they said, hey, this is what the people of God are saying about you, and they need to stop these things. It was not true things that they were discussing here. But then when they whispered in the king's ear, what did he say? All right, tell him to stop. All because some untrue things were said. They knew that they could not stop them their way by joining them. They tried to weaken their hand. That didn't work. So now they're going to try to blackmail them. And they did that. And this time it worked. The work of the Lord on the house of God, it ceased. The people failed to realize that the only way to move forward was by faith. And so many times, that's what we do. The devil, he first comes at us and we stand strong. He uses another tactic and we stand strong. And then he comes again. And each time we feel the devil's blow, we get more and more worn down until finally we give up. Until finally we say, what's the use? It's not worth fighting anymore. And we throw in the towel. And it's at that time the devil knows something. He knows that he's won. He knows he can't take our salvation. But if we're discouraged and we're not allowing the Lord to work through our life, the devil has won in our life. Well, how has he won? Because a discouraged person is not going to tell others about Christ. That's what the devil wants to do. He knows he cannot steal our eternal security from us. But he can try to keep us from telling others about how to be saved. Notice the work of God must go on. God is working. God is stirring hearts and lives. There are some things happening in the lives of individuals in this church and also around the world here that others may not even know about. But God knows. There's nothing that will stop the work of God in their lives. But here's the decision we have to make, church. The work of God is going to go on. But are we going to be a part of it? Because if we allow the devil to sow those seeds in our lives, though we may think it's something small now, it may be a year down the road, 2 years down the road, it may just be a few weeks, whatever it may be. But the devil knows if he can sow that in our lives and we allow that to grow, there's going to come a point where we're not part of the work of God anymore. You know what the Bible says? It says faith without works is dead. The devil wants to stop God's work in our lives. And we'll be walking around as dead. Let's not allow that to happen, church. I don't know what the devil is going to throw at us, but I do know this. He's going to throw some things at us. He's going to come and fight us. Well, how do you know that? Because he does it every day. It's how it's been since the beginning. Lord, help us. God is not limited to a church service. God desires to do works in our hearts and minds, but will we let him work? One question, and I'll be done here. Will we follow the Lord and let him be greater than the enemy and the problem that we're facing? Will we do that? See, it's following him. It's not following the pastor. It's not following the church. No, it's following the Lord. Those other things come with following the Lord. Will we follow him? Will we allow God to continue to do a work in our lives? Lord, help us. Nothing will stop.